to Kids Zone at this time. I'm delighted to have a guest speaker, Sharon Simpson, with us this morning. And just a little bit of background. I got some extra background on my way in this morning as I was talking with Wally and Velma Swatsky, since Wally was the principal at MEI out in Abbotsford, and he says, oh, she was from MEI. She was class president there. So I thought, oh yes, leadership runs deep. Sharon is married to Gary Simpson, who's pastor within our conference out at Broadway in Chilliwack. And so it's been a great getting to know her, mostly through conference settings. I know you worked with Mennonite Central Committee for years, and is actually currently the moderator, and for the last 2 years has been moderator in our provincial BC Mennonite Brethren Conference, and which has been a real gift to us as a conference with the leadership that she's provided. And she also was part of a trip recently to Colombia, a learning tour, really, which is something I did 5 years ago. Well, I guess it's a little bit more than that now. It's actually 7 years ago almost, to Colombia, the country of Colombia, which we support through our budget. Church planting ministries there. David and Maria Bonilla worked there for years, and that ministry is ongoing. And so as I was glancing through some of your pictures, I noticed Pastor Javez and Rutilio and some of the people there. And so it's just wonderful to have you here and to give us a recent window from your time in Colombia and visiting the churches there. So please come and share with us this morning.
Well, thank you so much, David. And I didn't think I'd keep a timer, but now I know I'm supposed to be afraid. I have learned. I want to bring you greetings from I'll bring you greetings from Broadway Church. I've brought my friends along with me. Where are they now? My dear friends Lois Lowen and Carolyn Lowen. And Lois functions as my mentor. If you're wondering if I have problems, she knows them all. So, and I'm just thrilled to have them here with us this morning. And it's great to see your faces. I wanted to turn around during the worship and just see who is here and who is spending the time this morning together in this community to worship the Lord. And I bring you greetings from British Columbia Mennonite Brethren. So depending on how we count the churches, we have about 110 in our province, and sometimes they'll say 104 because some churches have separate campuses. But I want to bring you greetings and thank you for the invitation to come and speak with you. My work, my actual work, is that I work at as Director of Community Enrichment at Menno Place, which is a campus of care for seniors in Abbotsford. 700 seniors live on 11 and a half acres, founded by Mennonite people. And it's my privilege to work there and to serve people, mostly who are 85 years old and over. And so today, and always when I think about what I'm going to talk about, I always think about people who are in their later years of life and what it is that this message means to that group. And I think one of the things that we're going to see is the power of having another person's life speak to us. And we saw that this morning with Jita, where her life speaks to us. We go across cultures and we go across ages, and we find this amazing way that God encourages our spirit. I do have to say something about Mr. Swatsky. Did I ever get called into your office? Just once, but he doesn't remember. Yeah, I think in my grade 12 year, we decided to take all the toilet paper out of the boys' bathrooms. And that was the only time that I was called into the principal's office. But that's not the only time, actually. And it was when I was in my grade 11 year. And Mr. Swatsky and Mr. Regeer called me into their office and asked me if I would run for student body president. And, you know, that would never have crossed my mind. Never. I did not feel like that was something that I was supposed to do or could do or wanted to do. And I remember going home to my mom and dad and saying, you know, this is what happened to me today. They think I should run for student body president, and I'm not popular. My mother said, yes, you are. You're popular in the true dictionary definition, not the high school definition. The dictionary definition where, you know, generally people like you. And I said, oh, yeah, but it doesn't mean I have any friends, and no one will vote for me. Anyway, she said you should be talking to the grade 8s and grade 9s, and that is what I did, and I think that is why I became student body president that year. I didn't see a leadership gift in myself, and I've often thought about the path that I've been on and thankful for the path that others had in drawing out and deciding to call out a gift. And so I thank you, Mr. Swatsky. That was not a small deal for me to be asked to let my name run for that. And it's taken me on a great path, and I'm grateful. And I'm going to start now with my PowerPoint here, and I hope that today I have a good word for you, a word of encouragement and a word of challenge as we talk about being blessed as peacemakers. I know that the overall series you're doing is One Savior, Many Nations, and so we ask the question, how does the Savior impact my life to be a peacemaker here and around the world? And so why don't we just pray before we get into it. Heavenly Father, on the drive here, we saw the beauty of your creation, crossing that bridge over the Fraser River to the beautiful mountains here in Port Coquitlam. What a gorgeous planet we live on, and we thank you. You are creator and sustainer. We thank you for the freedoms we live in here, and we pray that we will be responsible and faithful to whom much has been given, much is expected. You've trusted us with the small things, and we ask, God, would you trust us with more? Would you take this congregation, and would you trust them with more? Faithful in what you've been called them to do, would you call them to more? Would you open the doors of this church, their hearts, their eyes, for more of your goodness, your ministry, your victory, your power, your fruit, your enduring fruit. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. For they will be called the children of God. This last May, I had the opportunity, as David was saying, to go on a learning tour with MCC to Colombia. And what they wanted for us was to take a group of Mennonite Brethren leaders to see the ministry that's happened in Colombia that was started by the Mennonite Brethren missionaries. So there's the country of Colombia on the map. You can kind of see where we went to. And we were kind of a crazy group. I'm right there in the front. But there were a group of us from the MCC BC board. And then there were those of us who are leaders in the Mennonite Brethren. And honestly, I think of myself just as a person going on a trip. It didn't occur to me until we got into the presence of some of the pastors in the churches that they were looking at us as representatives of your church and the Mennonite Brethren. They saw it not as a trip. They felt that it was a touch of love. It was a connection. It wasn't just, hey, do you want to learn about our life? It was not that way. So that's the crazy group. You may know some other people in there. It was a fantastic time together. I don't speak Spanish, and so I was very much reliant on our translators, and I was grateful for them. These are our hosts here. On the bottom there, you can see in a white shawl around her is Elizabeth Miller. She's the country representative for MCC in Colombia and Ecuador. And then in the middle of that picture of three women is Zara, and I can't say her last name, Meleiro. She's the project coordinator for MCC in Colombia and Ecuador. She's a lawyer, and this is what she's doing with her life. She's a Colombian woman, and what a fireball is Zara. It didn't take us long, my husband and I, to realize that she would make a perfect daughter-in-law. And we mentioned it to her. It didn't go over well. But she's amazing. On the right is Neil Miller, and he's married to Elizabeth, and he has a master's of business, and he was doing all of the business administration for the country. I want to say that perhaps one of the biggest impacts for me was the caliber of the leadership that was running the projects in this country. My husband and I both, our whole team, blown away by these leaders. They have spent their young adult lives gaining education and experience for the express purpose of serving in this way. I was just fascinated by that. God had called them when they were much younger, and they had done their master's degrees and their experience to lead. And they were sensitive to the culture and to the people. We were on a learning tour for a reason, not a telling tour, not a sharing tour. We were there to learn. How does the world work in Colombia? How does the Christian world work in Colombia? And it was a privilege to work with them. We spent the first few days in this room, mostly having speakers talk to us. So you can see in one picture here, we have the, oh dear, all of my automatic intelligence is saying, trying to answer questions for me. We're talking here about Menecoldes, Yustapas, and Edupas. So those are three different ministries that the Mennonite Brethren have started in Colombia. Menecoldes is a Colombian Mennonite Foundation for Development. And Yustapas, I'm sorry to all the Spanish speakers here. Yustapas is Justice and Peace, and we went to go and see some of their peace clubs. And Edupas is Education about Peace. On the right, you can see Catalina Perez. She's the director of a program called SEED. This is such an interesting program because young people come for a year and they help with agricultural endeavors. So I'm going to show you where we went, and then you'll see where these young people go. In addition, the MB Church in Colombia, we met many of the pastors in Bogota. We sat with them and spoke with them. We met the pastors in Quibdó, which was another place in a province or a region called Chocó. And they were talking about evangelism and social care. As my work as moderator, I have found that there are churches that emphasize different pieces of those two. I'm not even going to call them I'll call it a spectrum, let's say. Evangelism, telling the gospel, preaching the gospel, and then on the other side, social care, helping people. And some churches focus more on one and some on the other. I have noticed that basically, as soon as you start doing one or the other, you kind of have to do the other. You know, if you're sharing the gospel with people and they are coming to faith in Christ and they need help, they need support, they need housing, they need shelter, they need support in developing strong family relationships, pretty soon you're doing social care. And if you're doing social care, you're taking care of people, you're feeding them, you're caring for them, the love of the Lord is in you, it doesn't take long before you're sharing Christ with them. So I have found this to be a really interesting piece because there's different ways that we emphasize it in our churches. But in Colombia, we saw a very integrated, holistic program of both. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You can yell these out. What words do you think of when you think of Colombia, the country of Colombia?
Coffee.
Coffee? Okay, this is going to take me a while. Okay, soccer. Drugs. Cocaine. What was that one? I still can't. Oh, the FARC. Oh, yeah. Conflict. British Columbia. Thank you. So that's pretty little, these words, but we did our little exercise, you know, as a group, and they asked us the same question. We said, salsa. We start off nice and safe, salsa. Gap between the rich and the poor, the jungle, soccer. We got to drugs, cocaine, Pablo Escobar. Hot, it was terribly hot. Dangerous, they have the best cyclists in the world, and a long history of conflict. Do you know that they have over 6 million dispersed people? That means people in the country who don't live where their homes were. So the drug trafficking and the drug lords have moved in. Those people said, I don't want to live here. This isn't safe. We have to go somewhere safer. 6 million of them. And that doesn't even start with the Venezuelan people who are now coming across their border into Colombia. Colombia has never been one of those countries where when you're looking around the world, you're a refugee, and you say to yourself, where do I want to raise my family? They think about people, refugees, people who are looking for a new start. They think about Canada, the UK, Australia, the United States. Colombia has never had a refugee program because nobody comes there as a refugee until the Venezuelan people started having a conflict in their own country and started pouring over the border into Colombia just a few years ago. And all of a sudden, they have over a million refugees in their country having never, ever dealt with a refugee before. That's Colombia. That's what we were thinking about. We took our first trip to Ismina in Choco, and I think, David, you would have been at this church, this bright yellow church, Iglesia Jerusalén, Hermanos Menonitas, the Jerusalem Church of the Mennonite Brethren. And there was a pastor's training conference going on, and there you can see in the bottom, there's myself with two pastors. This area of Colombia, Choco, had the same kind of impact on African people. They were brought over as slaves. And so you will see the entire population, almost the entire population looks like they are from Africa. So it's not a Latino-looking group in this part of the country. There's Pastor Rotilio, Pastor Americano, and myself, and Pastor Manuel, who is the counterpart to myself, the board chair for that region. And so it was really wonderful to see them. And it became really real to me that we were representing you, not just on a trip. These pastors were looking for us to encourage them, to bring them hope, to be reminded that there's somebody in Canada who cares. And they care about Canada because the ministry from Canada started there in the 1950s. Pastor Manuel said, "When I see the words Mennonite Brethren on a church far from home, I get the same feeling as being far from home and hearing my national anthem or seeing my country's flag flying." Isn't that something? He's just so connected with us as a family. And your church, through your contributions, has continued that connection. This is just at the back of the church. I wanted to show you how they do their baptisms. And those big containers, they gather all of the water, and those are on the top of every single house. And the water collects in there, and then that's how they pour the water into that pool that my husband is standing beside. And then there's our dear friend, Dennis Federau, who works with our BCMB executive staff, and he is from Paraguay, and so he's carrying the yerba mate, which is a gross drink that they drink in Paraguay. And in Colombia, it's basically tea leaves that you suck through a straw. It's awful. But I did, we shared it. We all shared it. We took a flight across the Andes Mountains here. And that flight took us just 70 minutes, but it would have been a 16-hour drive to get across those mountains. And then we moved on down to the little town of Ismina, and that's where we began to follow the missionary journey of John and Mary Dick. Mary's name was Letkeman. They were Mennonite Brethren missionaries from 1944 to 1957, and when Mary got ill, she got on a plane from Ismina and was flying back to Bogota to get to a hospital. And John was with her when their plane crashed in the Andes Mountains. And they left five children. There's only four in that picture, but I think they have five children. And you know, they hadn't been there very long. Like, you look at the number of years that they were in this area. And the church went on a search committee. The church got into whatever, their horses or mules, and they went into the Andes Mountain and found the crash site. The government wouldn't do it. And I hear that there's a memorial there for them. And it was a pleasure to meet Pastor Americo here on the right. And he is the man who was, well, he was just vibrant, I got to say. He's got to be in his 70s, and it felt like he was in his 20s. He had been part of John and Mary's Sunday school class in the village of Begabo. He came to faith at age 5. I think he's about 70 now. And Pastor Americano is one of the people that I want to tell you about whose life is compelling in his peacemaking. We went from Ismina on a boat down the river. And I'm going to tell you that at the time that we signed up for this trip, we did have to sign many, many waivers, including what do you want done with your body should your body you know, come back without your spirit. So we all had to make that decision, sign that. And that is because none of the missionaries that I've shown you so far, none of the people that I've shown you so far from MCC had ever gone on this river. Did you go on this river, David?
Yeah.
Where did you go to? The first village, Begabel? Or to? To Boca de Suruco? So 1 hour down, you can get to Boca de Suruco. And then 2 hours down the river, you can get to this village, Begabel. And we went to both. At the time that we were there, it was the month of May 2019, and there had, in this particular region, which is the cocaine growing region, there had been 39 NGO, non-government officials, who were trying to bring new community life to this region, non-cocaine-based living, to the region that had been killed. So January to May, 39 people had been killed in this region. Now, they didn't tell us that when we got on the boat. Here we are getting on the boat. The back there, you can see with the green hat, is Pastor Chavez. And I've put a little arrow there beside the first MB church in Istmina in the region of Choco. It's just a dump. Like, we went up to it. It's just awful right now. And as soon as John and Mary started that church, the Catholic Church put up a shrine right outside of it, which is still there. And I didn't show you a picture, but it was not a shrine of support. It was a shrine to help people not enter their church. So it was a conflict spot right at the front door of the First Mennonite Brethren Church there. We got on the boat, and when we were on the boat, we didn't have to travel very far. There was a huge pipe. Now, do you think that's going to go? The video, do you think? Okay, it's not that exciting, but anyway, there you go. The sound is not meaningful. I just thought I'd throw a little bit in there because, you know, I thought you'd like it. 2 hours on that boat. I mean, you get kind of tired, actually. And it's you can see it's just jungle. It was 39 degrees and about 97% humidity. And it was really something. I want to just show you a little bit of the way that people live on the side of the river. The year before, prior, there was a flood, and there was 30 feet. I don't know how to do feet, but maybe this is 30, hey? 30 feet that it had risen. And then all of the garbage that's just thrown in that river was just hanging now as the water had receded. So sometimes we'd go past walls of complete garbage hanging from the trees. It wasn't particularly beautiful. People were swimming in here and all of that. And here's where we arrived. And this was at, I got to look at the name of the place again, Boca de Suruco. Now, I want to tell you one story, and it's really the only story that matters in this time today, and that is about Pastor Chavez and Pastor Rotilio and Pastor Americo. So what happened in this area is that the drug lords came in and they said to the people who were sustenance farmers. Now, a sustenance farmer is just farming for themselves, right? They've got a chicken and they've got a cow or whatever and they've got some rice. That's what they're doing. They're feeding their own family. That's what that means. They were sustenance farmers. The drug lords came in and this whole region and said, you can no longer farm those things. We're not doing that anymore. What we're going to do is we're going to have cocaine here, and you're going to farm cocaine. And they were like, well, how will we live? How will we survive? Well, it doesn't matter to us how you survive. We don't care. You're going to farm cocaine. They had machine guns, did this all at gunpoint, and they did this up and down the river. There are no roads. There are no roads. So if you want to get anywhere, you have to go by the river. These pastors, they thought about it and they prayed about it and they said, there's no way our community is going to do this. I think they're going to have to kill us. That's what they're going to have to do, because we're not growing cocaine. We're not going to be part of this. And when we were given our learning part, our learning training, they told us, don't ask any of these people who live in this region about their engagement with the drug lords or with the farming of cocaine. Don't ask them, because every single family is touched by this. Either they have had to grow cocaine by themselves, they've had to make that choice to survive, or their children do it, or their kids are in the drug gangs, or they've had someone die. That's it. Every single one. So don't talk about it, because it's complex. I was appreciative of the way that they explained that to us. It's not simple. It's not like just don't do drugs. It wasn't simple. So the Mennonite Central Committee was approached by these three pastors, Pastor Chavez, Rotilio, and Pastor Americo, and they said, could you help us? We don't want to grow cocaine.
So MCC said, we will help you. We will start this farm. And that's where we were arriving here, at the Fagrotes farm, which is a nursery for growing cocoa. So this is my Spanish problem. Coca is cocaine. Cocoa is chocolate. So what they decided to do was start a nursery, and in that nursery, they would have all of these cocoa plants, and they would provide them to the farmers. The pastors went to the drug lords and said, we will not participate. And they were ready for whatever that would be. How is that going to happen for our community? It wasn't just for their church, it was for their whole village. We're not going to participate. And the for whatever reason, by God's grace, those drug lords said, okay, that's okay. We won't make you grow cocaine. And then the pastor said, and we won't pay a river tax. So if you're trying to get your goods to market, if you have any, you have to go on the river. It's the only way to move it. And they said, we're not going to pay that river tax, because what we were told when we were on the river, all through this jungle are people who have cell phones, and they're telling everybody down the way, down the river, where you are, where you're at, and whether or not they're going to come out of the jungle, approach you with their guns, and demand money. And we were like, okay, it looks so benign on the sides of the river, but this is what's happening, and this is what they would do. That's how you get a river tax. That's what that means. So the church said, we're not going to do that. You can see here on the bottom pictures that these are the crops, the cocoa, the rice, and here's Farmer Ramon, who had a very structured interview telling us about how he is now growing cocoa, chocolate, for his family. And I say structured because it's complicated, like I said. And so they were very careful how he was able to speak about it. I asked the question, how many of these rice mills and cocoa bean drying stations are there on the San Juan River? That's a good question, right? Because maybe MCC is one of a million of these. Oh, there's six. There's six of these on the San Juan River. I said, oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. So there's six different places that farmers can take their stuff. No, there are not six different places. Five of them have been vandalized. This is the only place where you can dry your cocoa beans or have your rice milled. It's the only place on the river. That's run by MCC and by Pastor Chavez. Well, Pastor Chavez, he's an interesting man. You can see him here. He's in the middle. He's preaching. And he's also an agricultural genius, is how they call him. So some of you, you know, I think about this, blessed are the peacemakers, the people who bring peace to others, and what the gifts are that bring peace. Sometimes it's easy for me to think, well, if you have a master's in conflict management, you can bring peace. Pastor Chavez brings peace through agricultural understanding. Isn't that amazing? And these three men, they are the ones who negotiated that agreement on the river. After they had their village with their new crops of cocoa, they were very excited about it. Pretty soon those trees are producing, and they're starting to have a life for their village, a life for their people. And it felt safe and good. And at that time, the government changed in Colombia and in the United States, and the drug war, the war on drugs, became more intense. And what that meant was that the American government issued some mandates for all of the cocaine plants to be killed in this part, this region of Colombia. And they did that by flying over the jungle with airplanes and spraying Roundup on everything. The people, the villages, the crops, everything. Killed all their crops. Just Roundup. The whole jungle. They killed the cocaine, and they killed the possibilities for these people who are trying to make a life in their village. They didn't know what to do. The pastors didn't know what to do. They came back to MCC and asked, what should we do? And MCC encouraged them, we'll support you if you want to go to Washington, D.C. and talk in Washington, D.C. to the politicians and say, we don't want you to spray Roundup on us anymore. Can you stop doing that? So that was where, you know, this is where the support comes. The financial support, these three pastors that you see there, those three, except for Pastor Fernando, the other three, that's what they did. They got on a plane, they spoke to Congress, they made their appeal, They had the support of MCC, and there's an international law now that you cannot spray Roundup. Aerial Roundup spraying is internationally not allowed. Not amazing? Three little guys in a village. It's overwhelming to me that we met them. Here they are on the boat. And in the boat, what they told us was, and you guys will love this, under the covering of the pastors, you're allowed to go on the river. That's why you're not going to get a machine gun to your head. I said, under the covering of the pastors. Like, I don't know what David's like when he walks around with you guys. It's nonsense here. In a lot of ways, it's nonsense. There, the very presence of these men on the boat was the reason, the respect that they have from the drug lords and the drug gangs is the reason that we were able to go 2 hours down the river to the beautiful places that we got to see. And this this picture back here is the church in Bebedo that John and Mary Dick founded, and those pastors were raised up in that church. We got to seek peace clubs, and we weren't really supposed to take pictures of the children, so it was really hard for me. I didn't really understand what a peace club would be. If you said here in Coquitlam, we're going to have a peace club, and the kids in the community can come to peace club. Like, I wouldn't even know what the curriculum is. It was literally teaching you to be friends. Their generations past the time when they have ever known what it's like to not hear bullets being shot. See that little church that we're standing in front of? That's Iglesia Evangelica Sinai, an MB church. The peace clubs used to take place in that... Oh, we're done. The peace clubs used to take place in that square in front of the church, but there was too much gunfire. The kids have to be inside the church now. Can you believe that? And when we went to listen to the kids, the ones that are 13, 14 years old, this is what they were doing. Their lesson that day was greeting each other internationally. So, you know, one would go, hi. Then the next kid, they would kiss on both sides of the cheek, you know, and they were practicing that. And I thought, this is pretty basic. This is pretty basic. It's the beginning of peace. Friendship is the beginning of peace. I want to say a few more things about the words that we thought about at the end of our learning time in Colombia. And these words were, the group came up with, humble, hopeful, resilient, spiritual coverage, the aroma of Christ, the moral leading of the church, patience, generosity, beautiful, entrepreneurial, crop substitution, resourceful, sacrificial living, community, accompaniment, risk-taking, hospitable, uncertain and trusting, and mutual transformation. All of us were transformed. When I think about your topic, one Savior, many nations, what is the impact for you in your life, the richness for you in your life to cross a cultural boundary and make a friend? What is that richness for you? It's not just helping somebody else. I love the mutual transformation. It's a game changer. When I wonder how I'm going to do in my faith, how am I going to hold up to challenges that are just really, really beyond me? I think of Pastor Americo, Pastor Otilio, and Pastor Javes, and I ask, and I know 3 people who have been able to lead by example what it means to follow deep in faith. That's what it means when you have a group of people from another place who teach you what it looks like to walk in God's ways outside of your culture. A peacemaker is a shalom bringer. And shalom means a circle embracing the whole community. It's internal here for your body of believers, and it's external, bringing in people around you. Blessed are the circle makers. To bring peace is to bring community. It's to be a reconciler. You know, in Canada, we have we're known as a country of peacekeepers. That's what we're called, right? When we go to another country, our Canadian army goes, they're peacekeepers. But Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, not just keeping the peace. Peace is not passive. Peace is an action. Blessed are the peacemakers. And when you read Matthew 5, you will see it is full of action. Be salt and light. Control your anger. Settle matters quickly. Turn the other cheek. Give away your extra coat. Walk an extra mile. Be faithful in your marriage. Love your enemies. Can you believe that Jesus is good with small initiatives like that? Mustard seed ministry, small ministry, unnoticed ministry, behind the scenes ministry of the people who bring wholeness to their community. I know you're in here. The people who are doing that, I know you're in here. You are doing your part, person to person and person to God, working for justice. Blessed are you, peacemaker. Blessed are you. When you are a peacemaker, you behave like Jesus. You behave like God. And this shows that you are a child of God. You've inherited his love. You've inherited his concern. You're participating in God's holy work. That's the verse. Blessed are the peacemakers, for you shall be called children of God. And a blessing for you as Eagle Ridge Fellowship. At the end of our time, when we were in Colombia, I had been listening to a wonderful song by an amazing worship pastor from the Metro Church in Kelowna. And you know, when I went to that church and I heard the worship time, I thought, this isn't normal. There's something crazy about this worship. And my husband thought the same thing. And so he went up to the worship leader and said, what is your name? And then we Googled him. And he's quite a prolific songwriter. And he's ended up, and not ended up, he's in the middle of his ministry, but he's working at Metro Church. It's a church in Kelowna that mainly ministers to homeless people. His name is Graham Ord. And so I started listening to his music. And this is the blessing that was on my heart from his music for you today, the same blessing that we gave to the Colombian pastors and the leaders of MCC when we left Colombia. And these are the words. May the Lord bless the works of your hands. May the earth yield the fruit of your labor. May you see the success of your plans. May you always be blessed with God's favor. May you never be found without friends. May you always know love in your dwelling. May that mercy and peace never end. May you always be known as a blessing. For you are loved, and you are wanted, and you are loved with the love of our Father. Amen.